Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a classic D&B bass move in Ableton Live 12, a wobbling bass line that feels wider and dirtier because of a crunchy sampler texture layered on top. This is a really useful old-school jungle and D&B workflow because it gives you two jobs at once. You get a solid low-end core that stays strong in mono, and you get a gritty upper texture that makes the bass feel alive, wider, and more record-like without ruining the sub. And that's the big idea here. We are not making the whole bass wide. We are keeping the sub centered and clean, while pushing the movement, crunch, and stereo interest into the upper layer. That's the sweet spot. So let's get into it. First, create a new MIDI track and load a simple bass instrument. For beginners, Operator is a great choice because it's fast and clean, but Waveatable also works if you prefer that. Start with a basic sine-based or triangle-based patch. The goal at this stage is not a huge sound. The goal is a solid foundation. Now write a very simple bass pattern. Keep it sparse. One or two notes per bar is enough to start. Try low notes like F1, G1, A1, or C2 depending on your track key. In Jungle and Rollers, less can be more, because the groove comes from the way the bass interacts with the breakbeat. If the drums are busy, the bass should leave some space. Once the MIDI is in place, shape the core bass so it stays clean. In Operator, use a sine or a smooth low-end toned, and set a short attack with a medium decay and release. If the sound feels too bright, put a filter on it and bring the cutoff down somewhere around the low-mid area. You want this layer to feel disciplined and focused. This is your foundation. Now for the wobble. You can create the movement with an LFO or with filter automation. If you're using Waveatable, map an LFO to the filter cutoff or Waveatable position. Keep the rate musical like a quarter, eighth, dotted eighth, or 16th note feel, depending on how fast you want the motion. If you're using Operator, put auto filter after it and automate the cutoff, or use a slow movement that behaves like an LFO. For old school jungle vibes, a slower, throbbing wobble often sounds better than super fast modern movement. Try something that feels chunky and readable first. If you go too fast, it can start sounding nervous or seasick. We want groove, not chaos. Now we build the crunchy sampler texture layer. Create a second track and load simpler. Drop in a short sample with character. This could be the chopped bit of vinyl noise, a gritty percussion hit, a tiny slice of a break, a rough stab, or even a little vocal shard. The important thing is that the sample already has attitude. Don't choose something too clean. In simpler, set it to one shot or classic, then shorten the amp envelope so the sample behaves like a burst of texture instead of a full-length sound. Add a filter if needed, and use the cutoff to keep it in a useful range. You're not replacing the bass. You're adding seasoning on top. This is a really important mindset shift. Think layer rolls, not one giant bass. The low layer is the foundation. The sampled layer is the attitude. Now separate the layers properly. On the core bass, use a Q8 and gently roll off the top, so it stays focused on the low end. On the texture layer, high pass it so the low frequencies are removed. That way, it won't fight the kick or sub. If the sample is harsh, you can also tame a small high mid area if needed. This split is the key to keeping things powerful. The bass will sound bigger because each layer is doing one clear job. Next, widen the texture layer, not the sub. This is where the bass starts to feel alive. On the sampler layer, you can add chorus ensemble for a gentle spread, auto pan for motion, utility for width, echo for short filtered space, or saturator for extra harmonics. Keep the settings subtle at first. You do not need massive width. You need controlled width. A good starting point is a little bit of chorus, a touch of saturation, and maybe some utility width on the texture only. Leave the sub alone. If the bass disappears in mono, the stereo effect is too heavy, so back it off. Now make it crunchy. Use saturator first and turn on soft clip if needed. Increase the drive until the layer gets a gritty edge, then stop before it becomes harsh or painful. If you want more lo-fi sampler character, you can try Redux as well, but use it carefully. A small amount of bit reduction or sample rate reduction can add that battered machine feel, but too much can make it sound cheap instead of powerful. If you want to push the old-school angle even further, resample the texture layer to audio, chop it up, and bring it back into the arrangement. That kind of hands-on sampling workflow fits jungle culture really well. It gives the sound more personality, because it feels committed rather than purely synthetic. Once both layers are sounding good, route them into a bass group. This makes your workflow cleaner, and it lets you glue the layers together. On the group bus, use a little compression if needed, but keep it light. You want the two layers to feel like one instrument, not get smashed into a flat block. A touch of saturation can help too, but again, keep it subtle. In D&B, the drums need space to punch, especially the snare. Now comes the fun arrangement part. Automate the texture layer so the bass evolves over time. You can move the filter cutoff, increase saturation in the later part of a phrase, widen the layer more in a drop, or reduce it before a transition and bring it back harder on the next bar. This is how you create energy without constantly writing a brand new bassline. A really useful structure is to start the drop with a tighter, more filtered version, then open the texture, and push the crunch as the section develops. That gives the listener a sense of movement and progression. Very D&B. Very effective. Now check it against drums. Bring in a kick, snare, and breakbeat loop. Listen carefully to how the bass responds. In old-school jungle and rollers, the bass often feels strongest when it answers the drum pattern, especially the snare. Let the drums speak first, then let the bass reply. That call and response feel is a huge part of the style. If the bass fights the snare, reduce the texture before changing the core bass tone. That's usually the fastest fix. And if the sound only feels good when it's loud, lower the volume and seed if the wobble and texture still make sense musically. Good bass design should work even at lower volume. A few beginner mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the sub wide. Keep the low end centered and mono-friendly. Don't distort the entire bass if only the upper layer needs character. Don't leave low frequencies in the sampler layer. Don't use a sample with no personality. And don't overdo the wobble movement. A controlled wobble usually hits harder than an extreme one. If you want to take this further, here are a few pro-style moves. Try making the texture answer only certain notes instead of every note. That creates a more deliberate groove. Try using slightly different wobble speeds in different sections so the arrangement feels like it's opening up. Try duplicating the texture layer and processing each copy differently, maybe one darker and one brighter. Try a tiny bit of pitch and stability or chorus on the upper layer to give it that hardware style charm. And if you want more drop impact, automate saturation instead of just turning the volume up. Here's a simple practice challenge. Make three versions of the same bass idea. First, a clean wobble with no texture. Second, add the crunchy, simpler layer and widen it a little. Third, automate the filter and saturation across a four-bar phrase so the last two beats feel more aggressive. Then test all three against a breakbeat loop and check them in mono. Your goal is to hear how much attitude you can add without losing low-end focus. So let's recap. Keep the sub clean and centered. Put the crunch and width on a separate sampler texture layer. Use EQ to split the low-end from the upper texture. Use saturation, chorus, auto pan, utility, and echo carefully. Automate the texture for movement and drop energy. And always check the bass against the drums and in mono. If you remember one thing from this lesson, remember this. In D&B, the best wide basses are usually not actually wide at the bottom. They're wide in the texture, disciplined in the sub, and alive in the arrangement. That's the move. Now go make it nasty.